اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد وارحم محمد وآل محمد كما صليت وباركت ورحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد النبي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذريته وآل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم تحنن على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما تحننت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم سلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما سلمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك وسلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد وارحم محمد وآل محمد كما صليت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد صلاة تكون لك رضا وله جزاء ولحقه أداء وأعطه الوسيلة والفضيلة والمقام المحمود الذي وعدته واجزه عنا ما هو أهله واجزه أفضل ما جازيت نبيا عن قومه ورسولا عن أمته. وصل على جميع إخوانه من النبيين والصالحين يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل علينا معهم. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك علينا معهم. صلوات الله وصلوات المؤمنين على محمد النبي الأمي. اللهم اجعل صلواتك ورحمتك وبركاتك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما جعلتها على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وصلى الله على النبي الأمي 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 وصلى الله على النبي الأمي. التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات لله الطيبات الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله. سلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. سلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. بسم الله وبالله. التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أسأل الله الجنة وأعوذ بالله من النار. التحيات الزاكيات لله. الطيبات الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. بسم الله وبالله خير الأسماء. التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا وأن الساعة آتية لا ريب فيها. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. اللهم اغفر لي واهدني. التحيات الطيبات والصلوات والملك لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله. التحيات لله. الصلوات لله. الزاكيات لله. السلام على النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. شهدت أن لا إله إلا الله شهدت أن محمد رسول الله. التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات لله. الصلوات الطيبات. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله. بسم الله والسلام على 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 رسول الله بسم الله والسلام على رسول الله. Allah Pak isko qubool farmaye, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept and grant barakat in whatever is read. Now, I think alhamdulillah, we started this campaign a while back. Again, I don't think we've been very successful. It's not been very effective. Maybe we should look at this. Why is it that why is it not being very effective? What can we do to make it, mashallah, more effective? That aise hi hai, sare kaam aise hi chalte hain. Kyun bhai? What do you think? She was the dearest of daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there is the Shia version is that Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha, she fell out with Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And I explained in detail last week that this is not possible. She wouldn't do it. This is not possible. This is what we talked about. Okay, the circumstances, if you look at the bigger picture, because I have to do these durus at other places as well, so sometimes I struggle to remember what is it that I covered here and what I didn't. So Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha, it's impossible that a person of her caliber, a sensible person like her, she would not oppose the dearest friend of her late father, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She wouldn't. Because the most ordinary amongst us, when we see our people that were friends with our parents, we give them respect. We try not to challenge them. Especially over things that are petty. To say that Fatima radhiyallahu anha, a small piece of land, she wouldn't, because of it, she would not fall out. She wouldn't oppose Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu just because of a tiny piece of land, small piece of land. And Sayyida Fatima, and especially when she saw what he was going through, Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu. Islam had many challenges, many difficult times. But there was no time that was more difficult than the time when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. The demise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was probably the most difficult time for the Muslim Ummah. When he passed away, there were 100,000 Sahaba radiallahu anhu present with him at the time of Hajjatul Wada, the farewell Hajj. Now these 100,000 people were scattered all over Arabia. The total population of Arabia was not just 100,000, they were definitely a few million. So all of them, the other millions, they eventually, because these 100,000 were quite powerful and strong, and when the Prophet and they were lying low. As soon as the Prophet ﷺ passed away, they gained strength and courage. They thought that now they could turn the tide. So there was a revolt against Muslims. So all those millions who thought that there was no hope for them, now they thought this was their opportunity. So Sahaba, the true Sahaba, the true believers, they were just stunned and shocked. They didn't know how to what to do. And at this time of kind of despair and this kind of tragedy, when they were grief struck, the enemies, they took a stand. And they took a stand, and some were confused. Some Muslims were confused as well, who previously had given loyalty and pledged allegiance to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were confused. They thought that Islam was all about worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal, and zakat they could do individually. They did not owe loyalty to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's successors. So they refused to send their zakat to Medina Munawwara. So when they refused to send their zakat to Medina Munawwara, Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu said, "This is not possible. If I allow this to happen, if a precedence is set, then the Muslims will never be able to unite." And just like salah is important, sawm is important, keep maintaining the unity of the ummah is also important. And in order to maintain this unity, there has to be a figurehead, there has to be a khalifa, there has to be one head of the ummah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had put him in charge of Muslims by making him imam in salah, and by making him amir in hajj the year before. He understood his responsibility, he was aware of it. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he knew what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted. So he said, "I'm not going to allow anyone to break away from Medina, and I'm not going to allow anyone to refuse to pay zakah. So everybody has to pay zakah, and they have to send their zakah to Medina as they used to do during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu gave, he had a firm stance. He had a very firm stance, and he remained firm on it. And he said, others, and then you started hearing news from all corners of Arabia that there was a kind of open revolt. People had refused to, those who were not Muslims, they tried to attack Muslims. Muslims became under attack. They say only three cities were kind of properly safe. One was Medina Munawwara, the other was Makkah Mukarrama, and third was Taif. Everywhere else in the region, the qabail, the tribes, they were either lying low or openly, those who were not Muslims, they took over the control. So at this difficult time, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had to deal with it, all single-handedly. There were the Sahaba with him, but he was their Amir. And others were saying, this is not time to push forward. This is not time to be strict. This is time of compromise. This is when you should move slowly and listen to what people are saying. And if they don't want to pay their zakat to Medina, they're not happy with this structure, then okay, give them chance. Let us slowly, gradually bring things to restore order in the ummah. But Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would say that ayun qasuddin wa ana hayy. Will deen be, the elements of deen will be removed from it, and will the elements of deen, the aspects of deen be rejected, and deen, this picture kind of distorted, will I allow it to be distorted while I breathe? No, he would say this will not happen. As a result, Medina came under attack. There were people that forced, they attacked Medina. This is something that was unthinkable in the final year of the Prophet ﷺ's life. Because Islam had spread to the far corners of Arabia to an extent that the Prophet ﷺ had given instructions that now Arabia only belongs to Muslims. Only Muslims should be allowed to live in Arabia. So after having such security and such kind of widespread influence, all of a sudden Medina itself became insecure. So the suburbs of Medina were constantly attacked. They were invaded by the enemy. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu didn't have a huge force. He didn't have a huge big army. He had people that he had, and he had to deal with threats around Medina and beyond, and Makkah, Mukarram, and other cities. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, for first 6 or 7 months, he didn't have a single, it says about 12 months in fact, it is written. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away in Rabiul Awwal, year 632. For 1 year, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was constantly busy dealing with these threats, this uprising in Arabia. So day in, day out, there were battles taking place, he had to deal with dangers. There were times when people of Medina could not sleep. There were times when there were people marching in Muslim, they were guarding the streets of Medina. Ali radiallahu anhu was with them, Zubayr radiallahu anhu with them. These kind of warrior type people, they would go patrol the boundaries of Medina during the night, during the day. There were constant guards. There were constantly there was fear that Medina would become under attack. So when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was busy dealing with all these dangers and all these threats, and as I said, for one whole year, it was like this. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, here, if you study how Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu conducted himself, he appears to be an amazing head of state. A person with great vision. Someone who really understood Arabia well. And he understood the mindset of people. And he as a psychologist, as the way people think, and everything, and a strategist. And subhanAllah, he proved himself. Initially, nobody was in sight. Even Abu Umar radiallahu anhu didn't agree with his approach. But then as the time passed by, they all understood that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, truly his iman was guided him, and he was guided with his iman, and they all gave in to the greater vision that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had. So this was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. So at the time, the first year, Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu anha only lived for about 6 months after the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She lived only for 6 months. So during these 6 months, and she passed away when Muslims were still experiencing that period of insecurity. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was busy dealing with them. And at times he would go out and then would engage in hand-to-hand fight. So head of the state, he's having a fist fight and fighting hand-to-hand and exchanging blows of swords with the invaders. You cannot imagine a head of state doing this. Head of state usually leads and he guides the army. But Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had to personally fight as well. So you can imagine what Muslims were going through at the time. And say the others as well. I'm not saying that only him, Ali radiallahu anhu, was he had to, and Zubair and all the main people, they were busy. So at this time, Fatima radiallahu anha comes and she says to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and I explained this in detail last week. What happened? She says that Fadak should be given to us. And he said, your father, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And everything, remember, everything that happened about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was something that Abu Bakr who remembered from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For example, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, people just refused to accept that this could happen. Even Umar would say, if anyone says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has passed away, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to chop his head. He had a sword drawn out. And he said, he's like Musa alayhi salam had gone to meet his Lord at Mount Tur. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa has gone to meet his Lord at Mount Tur or some mount. He's gone to the heavens, he'll come back. Even Umar radiallahu anhu couldn't come to terms with the tragedy. He couldn't accept that this had happened. Only Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu comes in and he says, "Ma kana Muhammadun." He says, "Wama Muhammadun illa Rasul qad khalat min qablihi ar-rusul." And he convinces everyone that the tragedy has really struck them. And then he leads them. And then he at the time, how should Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's janazah be performed? Where should he be buried? How should his body be washed? Nobody had a clue about it. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the one who said, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say that anbiya are buried where they pass away. So his qabr should be dug at the very spot where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's soul departed from this dunya. So they moved the bed of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they moved it to one side and they took the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the very spot, and that's where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was laid to rest. And how should his ghusl be performed? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was guiding. He was giving instructions about everything. How should janaza be performed? There is no janaza on a Nabi. So not like we do janaza on individuals. So it was just like Muslims would go into the chamber, the blessed chamber, where the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam rested. They would go and they'd recite durood there. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. And they'd make dua there and they would come out. There was no like janaza like we do. But when Imam leads janaza and people with four takbirs. And this was not how the janaza of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was performed. For about 2 or 3 days, people in small groups were entering the chamber, reciting durood on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, coming out. This is how the janazah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was performed. Everything was being dictated and guided by Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, because he had received instructions from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and nobody else was able to. And then when he came to the estate of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his belongings, how should they be distributed? Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, I had heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he said, "Nahnu ma'ashir al-anbiya la narith wa la nurath ma taraknahu sadaqa." When we pass away, there is no estate. We do not. Our estate is not passed on to our family members. Everything that we leave is a sadaqa to the ummah. It's waqf. So he said that this is whatever he sallallahu alaihi wasallam had. There won't be any distribution of his estate. And then here, then Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu anha, she said that that fadak should be handed over to us. He said, I've heard this from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some say that Fatima radiallahu anha was not convinced because she thought that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had given fadak to her as a gift the year before. But Sayyid Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu did not agree with it, because his version was, if this had been a gift, if this was really, this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam meant, if this was true, then a gift is not complete until the control is given to the recipient. This is my phone. I say to you, this is a gift to you. But then I keep it with me. And then, did you go to someone and say that Maulana Sahib had said that he's given his mobile as a gift to me, but he hasn't given it to me. So can you take that gift? Nobody can come and take it from me. The gift is only, and say if I pass away without giving the gift to you, and then my relatives, my successors, you go to them and say that we want that phone because Mona had promised that this is a gift to us. They don't have to give it to you. In fact, they cannot even give it to you because a gift is not completed until you hand it over to the recipient. Only then a gift is complete. And this is in contrast with a purchase. So if you paid, say, if you wanted to buy the phone and you paid me the price and I didn't give you the possession of the phone, then you can come and claim the possession because I have received the price. But if I said I give it to you as a gift, the gift is only complete when it's handed over to the recipient, when its control is given and the ownership is given. So in this case, the ownership was not given to Sayyidah Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu anha. So whether this or the other, but when Fatima radiallahu anha raised it with Abu Bakr radiallahu anha once, and then Abu Bakr radiallahu anha said that no, I cannot give it to you as a property, but I promise to you that I'll continue to manage it the way Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam managed it. So one of the beneficiaries of this area, this fadak, this piece of land, were the Ahlul Bayt. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I promise to you that you Ahlul Bayt will continue to receive the similar income, similar amount as you did during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I'll manage it exactly the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. So you will get your full share, and then whatever is left, I would do with it as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. And Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu anha, she came home and then she never spoke to him on this subject. And then what happened? The other version is that she was upset, she was angry, and then to an extent that they even claim, and you would find this again on Wikipedia. They even claim that Fatima radiallahu anha became so upset that she went and she delivered a khutbah against Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu in the bazaar, in the marketplace. And then she went and delivered a khutbah at home. And she went and she delivered a khutbah in the masjid. So about three khutbahs are mentioned, the three sermons. She delivered against the very person who was guarding the frontiers of Islam, who was busy dealing with threats from outside, and who was busy dealing with those who would claim to be Nabi after Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you know that there were people who'd claimed that they were Nabi, they were prophets just like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Particularly one tribe, Musaylimah al-Kadhab, Banu Hanifa, they were he had gained a lot of strength, and he really gave a tough time to Muslims. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is busy dealing with these threats, and Fatima radiallahu anha allegedly, and this is true, totally false, not true. It's, you can't even think that when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was dealing with so many threats outside, and he was so busy, and her husband Ali radiallahu anhu was fighting alongside Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, she was there delivering khutbahs against Abu Amir al-Mu'mineen, Khalifat Rasulullah. So this is, and even common sense doesn't accept that this could have happened. So then anyway, we've discussed about it, we've talked about this previously. Now, moving on to the demise of Sayyidah Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu anha. She lived only for about 6 months after the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some say even lesser, say one report says only 75 days. But this seems to be untrue. This is difficult to accept that it could be 75 days because she passed away in Ramadan. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away in which month? Rabi'ul Awwal. So if you count the time between Rabi'ul Awwal and Ramadan, how many months is it? Rabi'ul Awwal, Rabi'ul Thani, Jumad al-Ula, Jumad al-Thaniya, Rajab, Sha'ban, and Ramadan. 6 months. So she passed away in the month of Ramadan after the demise. What happens in the month of Ramadan? How is it like in the month of Ramadan? After Maghrib, people go to sleep after Isha. What do you do in the month of Ramadan? Taraweeh. Okay. And what else? After Taraweeh, you go to sleep. The pious people, what do? They do qiyam throughout the night. The pious people, they don't sleep. They do qiyam all night. And what do you think? Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum were pious or not?
Right.
So do you think Masjid al-Nabawi after Isha, after they would, people would just go home and remember Taraweeh in this way, the way we perform Taraweeh, it started during the time of Sayyidina Umar radhiyallahu anhu, that we have one imam and everybody prays behind him. During the time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, it continued as he was during the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What would happen? People would go into the masjid and they would spend entire night in qiyam. Or they would be in there at their homes, they would spend their entire night in qiyam. It wasn't only just that certain rakats you read and you go home. Qurra would read, the others would read, and people would spend the nights in the month of Ramadan are very awake. Is that true or not? Yes? Now what happened is Sayyidah Fatima Zahra radiallahu anha passes away in the month of Ramadan. So what happened at the time? Irtajjat al-Madinatu bil-buka. Medina wept. Everyone wept. And he reminded them of the loss of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam just 6 months back. So people of Medina were again grief-struck, just like they were a few months back. What do you think then must have happened? People then went to sleep. I'm insisting on this sleep because this is what the Shia claim. They say that the janaza of Fatima radiallahu anha was performed only by five people. It happened at the time of night, and it was her, and there were only five people, Ali radiallahu anhu, Hassan and Hussein, and two other people. Only five people prayed janaza because Fatima radiallahu anha was upset with people. She was upset with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. She didn't want him to be to attend her janaza. So to keep it secret, they just performed janaza quietly and they buried her. Can you imagine this? How is this possible? If you can explain to me anyone, then I would accept it. How is this even possible? If in your city something happens, that someone that is dear and loved to you, your father, let's say your father, or your mother, or your sister passes away, what would you do? Go to sleep. And the daughter of the Prophet, and they say, irtajjat al-Madinatu bil-buka. Medina, all you could hear were cries. Every house you could hear, you'd pass by, you'd hear people crying inside. And then what happened? People just went to sleep. And at night time, Fatima radiallahu anha janazah was performed only by five people. This, the common sense doesn't accept this. And this is totally untrue. This is why I said that these kind of reports, they were considered as khurafat. Khurafa is anything that is foolish and stupid, and anything that's senseless was referred to something that's khurafa. So nobody ever took these reports seriously. People just laughed at them. It's only recently, because we've moved so far away from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that now Wikipedia and Wikishia, they present it as reality and people buy into it. Because they cannot picture the time, what was happening, so they just buy into it, and people think that this is not even possible. The common sense doesn't accept it. So what had happened was, Sayyidah Fatima Zahra, now the true version, let's go back to what happened. Sayyidah Fatima Zahra radiallahu anha became unwell. And she knew that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said to her that she would be the first in the family to meet him. So she knew that her time was short. So that when she became ill, so who was nursing her? Who was there taking care of Sayyidah Fatima Zahra when she was unwell? Who do you think? Who deserved to be there? Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam through thick and thin. Whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was anywhere he needed help, you would see one man next to him, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He was always with him. Now, do you think Fatima radiallahu anhu was abandoned by Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu? No. Even Shia here, they admit that the person that was looking after Sayyidah Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu anha was the wife of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Asma bint Umays. You can say that she was the first lady of Islam, because the head of state was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, so his wife was the first lady. So the first lady of Islam, she was there looking after, taking care of the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is why I say that Ahlul Bayt and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam were not abandoned by the Muslim Ummah. The Muslim Ummah has always been dutiful. They understood their duty to Ahlul Bayt and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first lady of Islam, the wife of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Asma bint Umays, she was there looking after the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during her final days in this dunya. And then you can't even say that Asma was a bad woman, because Asma later marries Ali radiallahu anhu, and she becomes the wife of Ali ibn Abi Talib after the demise of Sayyidah Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu anha, and after the demise of Sayyidina Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Ali radiallahu anhu, obviously, he remarried a number of times later. One of the women he married was this very Asma bint Umays radiallahu anha. And this Asma previously was married to Ja'far al-Tayyar radiallahu anhu, who was a cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, I think he was. So Abu Ja'far, Asma radiallahu anha comes from a very noble background. So she married Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu during the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Asma was now looking after Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu anha. And Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu anha was so comfortable in her company that she said to her that when I pass away, nobody else should wash my body except you. You should give ghusl to me. And even they accept that the ghusl was given to Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha by Asma radiallahu anha and Ali radiallahu anhu. And Abbas radiallahu anhu was supporting from outside. So the wife, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, was fighting outside. He was fighting in so many battles. And he was busy guarding the city of Medina. And he had to deal with threats far and beyond. And he was looking at sorting out the Muslim armies and supporting those who needed help. He did not forget his duty towards the beloved daughter of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He appointed his wife to go and take care of her. This is the true version. This is Islam. This is Muslims. This is Ahlul Sunnah. Ahlul Bayt Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam were not neglected by the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. And then Sayyida Fatima was so comfortable. So she says that, and she privately, she shares her concern with Asma radiallahu anhu. She says that, I'm worried that when I pass away, my mayyit will be taken and people will be able to see my mayyit. Even though I'll be covered in shroud, but they'll be able to see my body. So I'm not comfortable. So for Asma radiallahu anhu said, don't worry, I've got a solution for it. And she proposed a solution. I think I mentioned this before as well. So she said that she'd migrated to, and Asma radiallahu anha was so, subhanallah, she was a woman who had opinion. You know, some women, they are, mashallah, easy to mold. You can see, they'll do whatever you say to them. And other women are very strong. They have their own opinions. And if you say something silly and something weak, they'll oppose it. No, this is wrong. Asma radiallahu anha was amongst those women who had their mind. She was very intelligent and very confident. Once, she, during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Umar radiallahu anhu said something to, she said something. He said that we came to Medina before you guys. We supported the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the battle of Badr, Uhud and trenches and later. And you guys were in Abyssinia enjoying, because she had migrated to Abyssinia with her husband Ja'far radiallahu anhu. You guys were in Abyssinia, you just joined us in Khaybar. So we are the ones who sacrificed our lives and we who dealt with the threats and we supported the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You guys just enjoyed. And Asma became upset. She said, no, this is not true. Our sacrifice were greater than your sacrifice. Because of our Islam, we had to migrate to Abyssinia. In Abyssinia, there was nobody there to help us to take care of our worries. And whereas you in Medina, when you were upset, Rasulullah ﷺ would give you comfort. And Rasulullah ﷺ would console you. And Rasulullah ﷺ would support you. And he would take care of you. And you would see him and you would talk to him. And Rasulullah ﷺ was a source of comfort for you. We had nothing. Yet she was not. So she responded to Umar radiallahu anhu. Yet she was not convinced. She went to the Prophet ﷺ and she complained. Umar radiallahu anhu has said such and such. And this is not true. And he's hurt our feelings. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam comforted Asma and said, no, for you women, for you people that migrated to Habasha, you get thawab of two hijrats. These guys that came only to Medina, their thawab is of his thawab of only one hijrat. You got double the ajr and double the reward. So she goes back and now she's content that Umar radiallahu anhu approved him wrong. We have great ajr and we have great reward. So Asma radiallahu anha was of this kind of mindset that if you said something to her that she didn't agree with, she would speak out and she would refuse and she wouldn't just take it. So this Asma radiallahu anha now is with Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu anha. And Fatima radiallahu anha knows and she feels comfortable. This is a strong woman. This is a stronger lady. So you know some women, they are such that you feel, Fatima radiallahu anha was very intelligent too. So she knew that the person that was taking care of her was capable. So Asma bint Umais radiallahu anha, she was there. And Fatima radiallahu anha, when she said, expressed her concern, she said, don't worry, I'll take care of it. And she said that we used to, in Abyssinia, they used to make this small shed type of thing, which they would cover the mayyit with. So she asked for some branches of some palm tree and some leaves, and she molded them into a kind of small shed type of thing, which would cover onto the mayyit. And she said, we'll put this, they used to put this on a mayyit, and we'll put this on you, inshallah, and nobody will be able to see you. Now, this comforted Fatima al-Zahra, and she became content and satisfied that her mayyit will be still in cover. And so, when Fatima al-Zahra passed away, then what happened? Abu Bakr, as soon as he found out, even though he was busy, as I said, remember, picture that there are imminent threats around, in and around Medina. Abu Bakr is busy dealing with them. So as soon as he heard about this tragedy, he came running. And he asked and this is the month of Ramadan. And this tragedy happened between Maghrib and Aisha. What happens between Maghrib and Aisha? People are asleep. Nobody's asleep. We're all awake. This is the time of iftar. And people are getting ready for Salat al-Aisha and for the Qiyam, for the night ahead. So he came and he found out what he offered his consolation. And while they were preparing the mayyit, he said that Abu Ali informed, when the mayyit is ready for janazah, let us know. Now, so Ali and then he came back. Ali was there taking care. Now there's another version. Some say that the mayyit, Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu anha, performed ghusl before she passed away. She performed a ghusl and she said to people, this is a version, another version, that she did a ghusl and she got ready and she said, now I have taken a ghusl, you do not need to uncover me after I pass away, and this ghusl is enough, and don't wash my body, and I've worn my kafan and my shroud, so when I pass away, just take my mayyit and bury me. This cannot be true. This cannot be true. Because the reason you give ghusl to a mayyit is not because the mayyit is unclean. It's because after, just like a cause of a ghusl, someone breaks their wuzu, then they have to do wuzu. If someone says, I'm doing wuzu before going to sleep, when I wake up, I won't have to do wuzu. Do you think this is a valid proposition? No. Because wuzu becomes wajib when you sleep. If you fall asleep, your wuzu breaks. Similarly, ghusl becomes wajib when? After the soul leaves the body. So the exit of the soul from the body necessitates ghusl. Even the Prophet ﷺ, when he passed away, did they wash the mayyit of the Prophet ﷺ? Yes, they did. How did they do it? They did not remove his clothes. So Rasulullah ﷺ's body was washed with his clothes on. So if ghusl was given to the blessed body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what about Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu anha? Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu anha, ghusl becomes wajib as a result of the soul exiting from the body. Then you wash the body. This is what necessitates ghusl. This is why it does not make sense that Fatima al-Zahra was not aware of this basic aspect of deen. Was she not aware of it? Of course she knew about it. So there are, just like there's one kind of marginalized report that this happened, but these are rejected. These are all kind of fake reports. The original is that. And then this is mentioned by so many, even from the other side as well. They say that the ghusl was given to the mayyit of Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu anha. And the ghusl was given by who? Asma bint Umays, and Ali radiallahu anhu was helping, and Abbas radiallahu anhu was helping from outside. So the mayyit was performed. And then came the time of janazah. So what happened? Abu said, when he came to the time of janazah, Muslims just flocked in. They just all came in for janazah. Whoever could make it, they just made it. And because it happened after Maghrib, the information couldn't get far and beyond outside Medina. Only people of Medina, they were able to join at that time. So they all came. And it was her instruction was that when I pass away, bury my mayyit at night time so nobody sees my body. Again, because of her overwhelming concern for hijab. So the janazah was brought at night time after Aisha. And those people who could come, they came. And Abu Bakr was present. And Umar was present. And Ali was present. And Abbas is present. And the family is present. And the Muslims are present. And when it came to the time of janazah, it's reported that Abu Ali held the arm of Abu Bakr. He said, taqaddam. You move to the front and lead the janazah prayer. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said to Ali radiallahu anhu, are you saying this to me? Are you saying this to me that I should go and do janazah? You're the husband, you should be doing janazah. And remember, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was very humble. He was very mutawadi'. Even when he was appointed as khalifa, he didn't want to be khalifa. And he said to people, by Allah, I never wanted to be your khalifa. I never prayed for it in open or in private. He said, never even the thought or the wish or desire crossed my mind that I wanted to be your amir. I am just like one of you. I don't want to be your leader. But now I had to take this responsibility just to keep you together, to maintain the unity. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he doesn't want to impose himself upon other people. At this time he wants the awliya, just like sometimes you go to someone's, pray someone's janazah, and the imam sahab doesn't lead janazah, the mayyid son leads they lead janazah prayer. So Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu says to Ali radhiyallahu anhu, are you saying this to me? You the husband, you should be doing janazah yourself. And you're a learned person. But Ali radhiyallahu anhu says, no, anta ahakku biha. You deserve it more. You have the more, you're more entitled to it. You are the Amir of the believers. So Ali radiallahu anhu takes the arm, pushes the arm of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and he pushes him to the front. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu moved to the front and he led the janazah salah. Who washed the body of Sayyida Fatima? Let's recoup. Who was Asma? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's wife. And this is in line with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's entire life. He served the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam throughout his life. Whenever there was a difficulty, Abu Bakr was there. When he knew that the daughter of the Prophet ﷺ is unwell, sick, he sent his wife over. And she was looking, doing khidmat. And then who performed the janazah? Who led the janazah salah? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So this is how Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu anha was, and then she was laid to rest. I know the time is short. I wanted to also share with you the marwiyat, the ahadith that are reported by Sayyidah Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu anha, but inshallah I'll do it next week. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'ul 'alim. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala abdika wa rasulika Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina azab an-nar. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد صلاة تنجينا بها من جميع الأهوال والآفات وتقضي لنا بها جميع الحاجات وتطهرنا بها من جميع السيئات وترفعنا بها أعلى الدرجات وتبلغنا بها أقصى الغايات من جميع الخيرات في الحياة وبعد الممات إنك على كل شيء قدير ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلق سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين آمين برحمتك.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله